Then I turned to studying the role of junior officers and enlisted men fighting in the ground. In the course of preparing those books, I had interviewed many of the men who did the actual fighting. What I wanted to do next, after I had completed a book on the first Transcontinental Railroad, was a book on the American airmen. Not those at the top of the command structure, but the men who flew the bombers. How did they do it? That was my question. In the summer of 1999, McGovern, his wife Eleanor, my son Hugh, and I were together for dinner. McGovern and his crew and his squadron, the 741st of the 455th Bomb Group of the 15th Air Force, seemed a good way to try to answer at least part of the question. My resolve was strengthened because of my respect for George McGovern and his men. My curiosity about how a son of South Dakota became, at age 22, a bomber pilot. My interest in how American designers and workers and industrial plants created the world's greatest air force. My wanting to learn about the strategic air campaign and how it was planned and carried out. And my desire to tell readers the story of how the leading opponent of the Vietnam War was, in World War II, a distinguished bomber pilot. So I went to work. Hugh and I did a lot of reading of both books and memoirs. We are in the deepest debt to all those who have written about the air war or their own experiences. On October 9, 2000, Hugh and I rode in a B-24 and a B-17. We got to sit in the co-pilot's seat and fly the airplane. It was an extraordinary experience, made possible by the Collings Foundation of Stowe, Massachusetts. The foundation flies those two bombers to airports around the country so that everyone, but especially children, can experience the thrill of examining and flying in a World War II airplane. The B-24 is the only one still flying. Thousands come to see, and a few get to ride in it. They can climb from fore to aft inside the B-24 or the B-17, into the nose turret or the tail gunner turret. They can sit at the bomb site or at the radio man's position. They can move forward or aft on the catwalk, see the bombs in their rack or the oxygen tanks, and everything else. On the B-24, the waste windows are open. In flight, wind streams flow through the planes to the tail. Although Hugh and I went up only a couple thousand feet above the ground on a lovely October day in central Pennsylvania from Williamsport to Harrisburg, it was cold. The flights in the big craft were bumpy, noisy, and a perfect delight. Flying the B-24 and the B-17 from the co-pilot's seat, even in smooth weather, little winds, few clouds, made you and me realize how cumbersome those bombers are, how long it takes for them to respond to the controls, how difficult they are to turn. But the flying brought smiles to our faces and joy to our hearts, smiles as big as all outdoors and joy as deep as the ocean. It was an experience with machines that could be compared only to being at the controls of a locomotive going up the Sierra Nevada. And it increased beyond measurement our respect for and admiration of the pilots and crews who flew those planes on combat missions that lasted 6, 8, or 10 hours. We encountered no flak. There were no enemy fighters shooting at us. We don't know how the airmen did it, but we appreciate what they did even more than before.
Prologue.